Today's program has been brought to you by Hearst Ranch, the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. For more information, visit HearstRanch.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
And welcome to Foment About It on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
I'm Mary Izette.
And I'm Chris Kuzmi. And we're live every Monday night at 7 p.m. We're archived on iTunes and also on the website, HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Today, we are celebrating a great many things, but what's going on in town, Mary?
Coming up this next Saturday, the 22nd, is a local Brooklyn homebrew competition. So it's going to be great homebrews and brewers from all over the city. It's going to be held at the Green Space, which is in the Gowanus area. There's two separate sessions, tasting sessions, and the name of it is
Home Brooklyn.
Yes, Home Brooklyn. So it's
Brooklyn,
like B-R-E-W, right? Yeah. So if you go to if you Google Home Brooklyn, that will bring you to the event website. And tickets, I believe, are still available. And it should be a good time. The list of beers and brewers looks really, really great. Yeah.
This is put on by our friends at Bitter and Esther's, Douglas Amport and John LaPala, and they just came down to 508 and brewed with me. We brewed a really, really fun beer called Johimbe, and I'm psyched about this. That'll be on tap in July.
The week after we get back from NHC?
Right. Yeah. It's got some stuff to do. But right now we're featuring a beer that I did with the guys from Brooklyn Homebrew. And I'm really excited to be doing all these collaborations down there, learning a lot. And this is the first time I've used so much rice in a beer. We used a lot of adjuncts, and it's a cherry honey rice beer that is going to be pretty cranking. I'm super psyched about it.
So tonight we're going to talk about, I think that's the only announcement we have, right?
That is.
So tonight we're going to talk about green market brewing or farm to glass beers. And brewing. So we have our good friend Jason Saylor in the studio. Hi, Jason.
Hello.
And then we have another good friend, but I have a really hard time saying his last name, so let's try. Paul DeLugo Kinski.
Yeah.
Paul. Awesome. You got it.
All right. What's up, Paul?
Hey, how are you doing?
Fantastic.
So Paul is owns a nano brewery, probably one of the first nano breweries I ever heard about, called Blind Bat Brewery on Long Island. And you make some absolutely amazing beers. I first had your beers, I think, 3 years ago at the Bellport charity event.
Mm-hmm.
And was really impressed. And we see your beers around town occasionally. And then recently, I was very privileged to judge the Long Island Golden Tap Awards. And unbeknownst to me, we judged your Long Island Potato Stout number one. And it was, I had no idea what it was, of course. When we judge it, but it is absolutely delicious.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
So I want to start by asking, how big is your system currently?
I have a 3-barrel system, so I can brew 93 gallons per batch.
Okay. And you're kegging and bottling as well?
Yes. Yeah. Primarily more bottling these days because I sell at a couple of farmers markets, and that's just a convenient way to sell to people.
Yeah, and I always read
the bottle.
You always update your Facebook status and, oh, the beer's sold out, but you know, we have some brewery swag or whatever. So it seems like you do pretty well. You have a decent following at the green markets, the farmers markets.
Yeah, very fortunate, yes.
That's awesome.
I think all brewers should consider doing farmers markets because it's an interesting demographic because it's not you've got your beer-centric, beer-geek crowd, which will always try and find the new breweries, but you're exposing yourself to people who are into local, locavores, who are into good food and all that, and many times I've encountered people at the farmer's market who are surprised that there are any breweries on Long Island. They haven't even heard of Blue Point, which has been around since 1998.
Right.
What is the legality of doing it? I mean, is it an easy license to get for the farm breweries?
Actually, it is. Yeah, you just have to write to the New York State Liquor Authority, and the green market or farmer's market has to be on the New York Agricultural Bureau, Ag and Markets, I think, has to be an officially recognized farmer's market or green market, and then they're really, really quick about getting you the permit, and the permit is, unlike other things with the New York State Liquor Authority, free.
Wow. And that changed like 2 years ago.
Yes.
A year and a half or 2 years ago, correct?
At least 2 years. I've been doing it for 2 years. I've been at the Northport Market, and I'm doing a couple of others. Yeah, because wineries in New York State have been able to sell at farmers markets for years, and finally we had some legislators up in Albany who were sympathetic to craft breweries on Long Island. I'm sorry, and pushed that through. So we're on a par with the wineries in that regard.
Very cool.
That's awesome. So you must be pretty in touch with what happens at the farmers market, and how does that influence your brewing?
Well, it's fun, actually, because there's a local coffee roaster down in Long Beach, and I'm working with them on a coffee beer, only because we know each other from the farmer's market. And at also at the Northport Farmer's Market, the Ridgewood Pork Store, actually it's not a beer that was created. He actually used some of my beer a couple of times to make sausages. He used my Vlad the Inhaler, the Polish beer, in making some kielbasa a couple of times, which was fun.
That's awesome.
So it's a nice little crossover here and there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how did you use potatoes in your stout?
Okay, well,
let's get in.
You got to peel them. I learned that the hard way. leaving the peels on, the results were not terrific, but that was just a 5-gallon test batch. So I peel them, I boil them, and cut them up, and just basically mash them up with a masher and then use lots and lots of rice hulls. Uh-huh. And otherwise, it's an extra dry Irish stout. And I like to use, obviously, Long Island potato stout, Long Island potatoes, and I like to use organic potatoes. If you're only going to do anything organic, potatoes or strawberries are the things to go organic, just because they both really absorb a lot of the chemicals and pesticides that are used to grow them conventionally. So sometimes my wife, Regina, grows the potatoes. Sometimes I get them from a couple of other farms, primarily Sangley Farms out in Peconic. Know your farmer, you know your produce.
Yep. And what inspired you to use potatoes?
I'm part Polish, as you can tell from my last name, and Irish, and I've always loved potatoes. So it's just one of those things, you know, like any home brewer, you kind of sometimes just look around and go, I wonder if I can brew with that.
Right. And yeah. how much sugar are you actually getting, or starches, you know, to convert to sugar?
Yeah, I wish I could say scientifically. I've never actually measured it, but the theory was that it's adding sugars that help ultimately dry it out. And mm-hmm. I have found that it's drier than when I just brewed a straight up dry Irish stout. And some people claim they taste the potatoes in there, but I think that's a power of suggestion.
Yeah.
You made an oyster stout recently as well. Did you use potatoes in that? Was this a combo?
No. That was oysters. Yeah, and when I can get good source of oysters, I'll brew that. But and then I used sweet potatoes. The most recent batch was also from Sangley Farms in a sweet potato saison. As a home brewer, years ago I brewed pumpkin ales. Everyone's got terrific pumpkin ales out there, and I figured, well, if I add another pumpkin ale out there, Is it worth it? Is, you know, it's like IPAs. There's so many great ones out there. When I add something a little different to the conversation. So the sweet potato saison is kind of my version of that kind of a beer. Like a pumpkin ale, you probably don't taste the sweet potatoes so much. I roast those in the oven, and then they go into the mash of the grains, similar to the Long Island potato stout. But it's really a lot of the spices at the end, like nutmeg, again, similar to a pumpkin ale, that you really get that, oh, sweet potato, or oh, pumpkin.
Right, right. Now, and do the sweet potatoes, you peel those as well, like the regular potatoes?
No, those I just roast them. And
okay.
I gave it a try. Didn't peel those. And
you're still getting
good, it was all right.
You're still getting some fermentables from your sweet potatoes, I assume.
Yes. Yeah. I think so.
Cool. And then I know you also did a special batch of a honey basil ale with local basil.
Yes. Local basil from, there's a little farm around here called Machinasian. They're primarily a poultry, but they also grow terrific organic berries and other vegetables. And I used their basil for that last year. My wife Regina is growing basil for me this year, so I'll be using her basil this year. Enough people liked it, I'm definitely going to brew it again at least once a year.
Great.
And then there's a local beekeeper. He couldn't supply as much honey as I needed, but he hooked me up with some beekeeping friends to get the honey that I needed.
And what are some tips on, I mean, basil, I haven't made a basil beer yet, but I feel like basil would be a little bit tricky as to when you put it in and how much? So do you have some tips?
Yeah, I mean, I chopped it up. It was towards the end of the boil. I actually posted the recipe for that beer on my website.
Okay.
It's probably on my blog somewhere, blindbatbrewery.com, but I've got a 5-gallon size recipe.
Awesome.
That I posted there for that beer. And I'm actually also working on another idea with Len Thompson, who's really primarily a wine guy. He writes the New York Cork Report blog.
Yes.
But he had the idea for a Thai basil ale of some sort. So we're kind of playing with ideas for that, and my wife is growing the Thai basil for that.
Excellent.
And just because I love the story, you make a Gratzer, right? A
Gruditsky? Yes.
And you got
I call it a Gruditsky, which Gruditsky. I will contend is the true and original name for the style, being the Polish version of the beer. And, you know, the Germans came and went a couple of times, and as is their wont, kind of took things and renamed things. But that's a discussion for another show.
Happy to have it.
But I've been brewing that actually since 2008. Kind of playing around with it. It's mentioned in a number of books. I mean, the first place I saw it was Randy Mosher's Radical Brewing.
Yep.
And then the Brewers Association, they've got in their Smoked Beers book, which is a terrific book. It's maybe like 13 years old, but still awesome book. They mention it. Each of them have their own takes on it. There are different recipes on it. And then Brewing with Wheat, Stan Hieronymus' book, has yet another version of it. So what I basically do is I just smoke the wheat over oak, about 2 hours of smoking, and for a 3-barrel batch, that's 165 pounds of wheat. I got a phone call from the TTB, that's the Treasury Department that governs, you know, what brewers and other makers of alcoholic beverages can and can't do, and they had a problem with it when I put my label in. They asked for the formula, and when they saw there was no barley in there, they said they could not give me a label approval for it because there was no barley in there. Their jurisdiction is that beer contains barley. So I had to add just a little barley in there. So basically it's 165 pounds of wheat, and I usually just go down to my local homebrew shop. Yeah, just a little Munich malt. So it's like a 1 pound. Go to Carp's in East Northport, and get a
nice
1 pound bag of Munich and just toss it in. We're good to go.
I quote that story often.
Yeah. But and then Saaz hops. If I could ever get my hands on Polish hops like Lublin, then I would definitely use that, but they're hard to come by.
Who uses them?
Who uses the Lublin hops?
Yeah.
Actually, 6-Point did.
I imagine Polish
brewers.
Yeah. And 6-Point did, actually. They made a Gruditsky, and I believe they got some Polish hops somewhere.
Oh, they did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
I believe so, yeah.
Oh, good for them.
Yeah.
All right.
So you said you're working on a coffee beer, so that's kind of your going to be your next green market, and then this Thai basil beer.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for talking to us. We look forward to tasting those beers.
Absolutely.
Thank you for having me.
Real quick, before you go, though, tell us about your oyster stout.
Basic stout, oysters in mesh bags. I'm really just doing small. I still have my Brew Magic. It's a 10-gallon system. So the oysters in bags, you can pull them out, and they go in the boil, and it's just one more fun thing to try.
Absolutely.
And you did whole oysters?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Yep, yep. And you did them for how long in the boil?
Oh, when did I? You know, it's been a while since I brewed it. They're in there at least for 45 minutes. Oh, the full boil, really.
Yeah.
Just even for the full boil.
I'm asking because I just did this. I just did my first oatmeal stout, or oyster stout, the other day as well. And I had them in for 45 minutes in the boil. And pretty cool. I'm very excited about it. Tastes really great. It does have a lot of brine.
Oh, good, good, cool.
And I'll be kegging it up in the next few days and celebrating next week.
I have to get into the city and try it.
Yeah, man, please. Okay. Please. We got a brew together, too. I know we spoke about that a couple times,
awesome.
So very excited about that. But we have to take a quick break, and we'll be back on Ferment About It in a couple moments.
Like what you hear so far? Support the network and become a member. Membership helps us bring you the best food radio in the world and gives you access to thousands of dollars in discounts at the sustainably minded businesses that support us. To become a member, visit heritageradionetwork.org today.
Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef. Pasture raised on 150,000 acres in Central California. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, free-range, sustainably produced, humane. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, the authentic flavor of the American West.
Welcome back to Foment About on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. I'm here with Mary Izette and our friend Jason Soller. We have just listened to spoke to our good friend from Blind Bat Brewing Company, Paul DeLugo-Kinski, with a K, hard K right there. Beautiful guy, beautiful cat, and makes some incredible beers. If you're out in Long Island, if you're at the Green Markets, find him. It's worth it. Jason.
Hey.
Thanks for coming today, man.
Thanks for inviting me.
You may know Jason's voice from earlier in the show when he talked about the Brooklyn competition, but also from Jimmy's Number 43, or Jimmy does the radio show on Tuesday night's beer sessions. What was that about?
Yeah, we were just talking about kind of local homebrewers kind of trying to go pro and stuff. So.
And you have a brewery in planning.
Yeah, I am right now working on what's called Strong Rope Brewery. I've been a home brewer for about 9-10 years now, and I've been brewing seriously with the intentions of going pro for the last 3 to 4 years. So it's a slow process, but you know, I'm a home brewer with a full time job. So
yeah,
I've got a lot to do. But you know, the focus of what I want to do as Strong Rope Brewery is to really showcase mainly American and English style ales, but with a strong focus on farmers markets and fresh local ingredients, seasonal, really kind of tie it all in and utilize, you know, what is in, you know, season right then, and just like really make some interesting, unique beers and just play around and draw a lot of inspiration from, you know, the food world and some other places, and just really kind of just do it all. Just, you know, make some fun stuff.
Absolutely. And you do that, clearly. We're tasting a beer of yours right now. Tell us about it.
Yeah, this is a basil and raspberry brown ale. The inspiration for this is I saw a dessert. It was a chocolate cake with like a raspberry kind of compote or, you know, some kind of sauce with, you know, some sprigs of or some leaves of basil. And it was just really, you know, something that I was like, you know what, it could be really interesting if you take kind of those elements and try to imagine that as a beer. I didn't want to go as sweet as what you would get from a dessert. I wanted to dry it out. I really, you know, it's still pretty, you know, it's got a good fruit flavor, but it's not, you know, cloying, and it's, you know, it's about a little over 3 pounds of frozen raspberries in secondary for about a week.
And that's in a 5-gallon batch?
5-gallon batch, yeah. And then it was a little more, it was about 1.5 ounces of basil. And be warned, if you do use basil, I put it at the end of the boil, like 5 minutes left, maybe a little less. It all of a sudden just started smelling like pasta sauce. I was really worried about it. I was like, oh my God, I've just made a pasta beer. but it left. Once it kind of, I think it was just the heat of and just releasing those basil aromatics. But once it calmed down and I tried it before I put on the raspberries, it was a really nice, fresh, kind of green, herbal character, which you can get a little bit in the raspberries or in the final product, but I feel some of the raspberries has definitely kind of overtaken it. But there is still a kind of herbal quality. But, you know, I wanted to play with just those darker, slightly darker malts and just kind of, you know, make something that that you could really, like, play with the sweet fruitiness with that kind
with
of
that basil,
the more that basil and that bitter, so it kind of just goes through the whole shebang.
And that's happening for sure.
Thanks.
So the basil, did you cut it up, or did you just put them in with the whole?
I didn't. I just I mean, such a, you know, I felt like it was just such a, you know, big surface area, and just you didn't really need to cut it up. So I just put it in. I didn't even put it in a bag. I threw them in, and it was a good bowlful. You know, they're so light. It's just the leaves.
Have you ever dry hopped with any, or like quote unquote dry hopped with things herbs. Other than hops, with herbs?
I have done rosemary in an amber ale before, and I'm currently, so not an herb, but I am doing a Cuban Belgian Saison, or Whitbeer actually, for a wedding coming up. And
where's the Cuban come from?
I'm intrigued.
So it's just a basic
tobacco leaves.
Yeah, exactly. Well, a couple cigars, just throw it in there. No, it's a Belgian wit brewed with coriander and bay leaves. Those are added right at the end of the boil, about like a couple minutes left. Mm-hmm. And I went sparingly on the bay leaves, or well, not sparingly, but I went lower on the bay leaves. I overdid it one time in a test batch, a couple years ago, and it was just like bay leaf in your face. So, and then it's that, and then I'm going to rack it in secondary. I'm going to put it onto about 4 pounds of baked plantains.
Nice. So like the sweet kind.
Yeah, I got as kind of ripe as possible, mm-hmm. so that when I bake them, I can get some extract some of those little caramelization.
The yellow maduros. Some of those.
That's going to be a quick turnaround on that beer, but that should be interesting.
Amazing. That's really fun.
Have you used plantains before?
I have, and I threw them in the boil, just kind of for, I think it was about a half an hour. It was a couple years ago. And this time I was like, let's try to, I was probably getting more, not as much flavor as mm-hmm. I could have. So I wanted to bake it and really get some more interesting flavors out of it and put it in secondary. And really kind of explore it a little better.
Cool. Yeah. So what's the other beer you brought was very interesting. It sounds very interesting.
Yeah, it's a blackberry lavender blonde ale.
Where'd you get the blackberries and the lavender? I won't ask about the blonde. I'm a beer a week. Well, at least once a week.
So I will say that just for any farmer market geeks out there, they're gonna these two beers right now that we're drinking are not seasonal yet. These are frozen organic berries that I've been using, because the berries don't start for another month or so. Mm-hmm. So I know, shame on me.
No, but the thing is now
you're ready.
This is the time to think about it though, because even if you guys don't have time, maybe you're not brewing in the summer because you don't have good temperature control, you don't want your apartment to get too hot, whatever, then go ahead and buy some blackberries or raspberries when they're in season and freeze them, because you'll be able to use them later.
It's
something to keep in mind definitely this summer when all our farmers markets and green markets and other places have great locally grown produce.
Yeah, especially if you're like a part of like a CSA share, mm-hmm. or something, because sometimes you get so much that you can't actually use it all. So like free stuff if you can, you can pasteurize if you want, put it in for like, on the stove for a little while, mm-hmm. And get it to like 160, 170, and then just freeze it, just package it and freeze it, and then you can just throw that into like the secondary and it's good to go. Mm-hmm.
I know there's at least one CSA here in New York City that does frozen, they freeze their fruit and then they send it out in the wintertime. So that is also something to keep in mind.
I was part of one of those a while ago. But yeah, it's great. It's great stuff. I mean, and the great thing about farmers markets and CSAs and people doing these things is you're finding more than, you think, oh, just raspberries or peaches or something. People are starting to bring back heirloom varieties and really exploring, varieties that were lost and then that haven't been around for a while. Mm-hmm. And so you can, they taste completely different. I mean, they're just really interesting. So it's something you can really play around with. And, that's one of the great things about supporting, doing farm, type farm to beer or bottle beers, is really helping out these local farmers and trying to help them expand. Even if you're not doing, you know, fruits and herbs and vegetables and those sorts of things, I mean, there's plenty of hop farms mm-hmm. coming up and plenty of, you know,
Honey producers, local honey producers, which we talked about before.
Yeah, and barley, and mm-hmm. people doing, you know, Valley Malt up in Massachusetts. They're, I mean, the only ones really up in the Northeast right yep. now.
Ah, there's another one opening in New York very soon.
True. Oh, really?
Yes, Country Malt.
Well, there you go. Mm-hmm. Where is that?
100 acres. It's a collection of a couple different farms around New York State.
Nice. Yeah.
And then he's doing the milling, or the
malting. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
But we'll have him on our show.
He's got up to 100 different acres at the moment.
So let's talk about your approach to the lavender blackberry. Because lavender is, I've done some lavender stuff before.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit tricky, yeah. I'd say.
Yeah, we got some dried lavender. It was just kind of from the farmer's market. Mm-hmm. And I ended up throwing, I took about half the stems off, and then the other half I kept on. So just like it was going to be too much. For me, it felt like I put about an ounce and a half in there at the end of the boil, and it was going to be really a lot of. I felt like if I just used the flowers, so I wanted to add a little, and the stems. I tasted the stems. I mean, that's one thing if you're going to do farmers markets, taste everything. Just taste mm-hmm. it. So. I really wanted something that was pronounced. I didn't use much hops. I just used it as a slight bittering agent. But I really wanted to have the basil come out, even when adding, you know, 3 pounds of blackberries. So, it was just at the end of the boil, you know, just got it in. And then basically like the basil raspberry and the blackberry lavender are very similar in terms of the extra ingredients that were used. It was just switching out the blackberries and raspberries and the lavender and the basil. But it was kind of a different way. I wanted to showcase the blackberries and lavender. So it was just a blonde ale. So it was just a really basic canvas for everything to show yeah. through, where for the other one, I really wanted to play with the malts, so that's why I did the brown ale mm-hmm. to kind of showcase what was, you know, how that can be accompanied. So it was like really two different, for me, it was two different approaches to almost in similar ingredients.
Yep.
So
now, what was your inspiration to combine lavender and blackberry?
I don't remember actually. That was just, I think we were just
it's working
talking
very well.
About. Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it. We were just talking and I actually brewed this for an event up in Rochester. It was a silent auction for a local theater up there, Jiva Theater, and they're having a whole package and they wanted some homebrew to go with it. And it was, they were putting on a show of Midsummer's Night's Dream. And I was thinking about, you know, kind of what would, you know, Midsummer kind of beer be that was kind of florally and effervescent. And that's what kind of came to my head. I was just kind of thinking about, you know, different elements that could combine to create that, and I think wanted to get the blackberries to get a lot of the color and some of the fruitiness and the lavender to give that really fresh yeah. floral
and it
scent.
Certainly has that. It's beautiful. Yeah. Before we go, I'm not gonna let us go without you talking about this for a second. You just poured it.
So
first of all, Jason, thank you
yes.
so much, dude. Really, really awesome.
Of course,
and thank
yeah,
you,
Paul. It was a good time.
Mary just busted out a whey fermented strawberry rhubarb, or just rhubarb, right?
Yeah, just rhubarb soda. So it's fermented with whey, which we'll talk about in a future show. I'm actually going to be giving a seminar on alternative fermentations and urban brewing at next week's National Homebrewers Conference in Philly. And whey fermented sodas are one of my favorite things to do. And
is there any alcohol in this?
Probably like a tiny
amount.
Like
maybe less than 1%.
Yeah, I'd say.
Or around 1%.
Yeah, because most of it's, yeah.
What is in it?
So it's just cooked down rhubarb. So rhubarb, a little bit of sugar. I strained whey from a pack of local yogurt. And then fermented with that, so just sugar, water, and cooked down rhubarb on this whey. And we'll talk more on a future episode. Absolutely. But I say rhubarb is the green market ingredient of the week. So after we get back from NHC, my goal is to make like something, some kind of fermented beverage with a green market ingredient every week. So we'll have that as kind of a common theme of the show this summer. Because there's so much great stuff at our green markets.
Yeah,
and,
definitely.
You know, now we have gingerbug kombucha, water kefir, whey fermented sodas.
This is good.
And then just some, you know, you can throw champagne yeast in almost anything. So
and support local. Support your local
farmers. Yeah,
and there's
so much fun stuff at our green market. Yeah. So
with that, thank you so much for listening to Ferment About It. Thank you to Joe Galarraga, our engineer.
And thank you to Heritage producer, Radio Network.
Jack Wesley, Jason Saylor.
Thank you.
Paul DeLuga Kensicki.
Dang it, I almost had it.
We will talk to you next week, 7 p.m.
Ferment About It.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.